This morning, Deborah and I were talking most of the morning in our time, and I had a completely different message to minister and had something that I was on my heart. And then God spoke to me and said, I don't care what's on your heart. I want you to preach what's on my heart. And we started talking about past the point of no return. There are people in life that go past the point of no return. And what that means, when you've gone so far, you can't go any further. When you've gone so deep, you can't go back. I've often said to Deborah, I know too much to go back to the world. I've gone past the point of no return. I don't know if you know this, being a sailor, Debbie and I, we would laugh about, should we just jump in the boat and go to Hawaii? It takes about 23, 24 days solid to sail to Hawaii. That'd be kind of cool, huh? I think I'd go nuts if I did that 23 days. I'd be bored out of my mind. It's too slow and too boring to do that. I like sailing fast for a couple of hours. That's it, you know. Put the boat away and go do something else. I often thought about it, but did you know that the furthest place from any land on the planet is on the way to Hawaii? In other words, you could sail to Hawaii. When you get halfway there, that's the furthest you'll ever be from any land on the planet and any ocean in the world. Halfway to Hawaii. It's beyond that spot that it becomes the place of no return. It's actually closer to keep on going than it is to turn back. In the scripture, Deborah and I were talking about how many people that are great in the Bible. Let me say that again. Biblical, if you will, celebrities in the Bible that God used in the scripture were people who had gone to a place of no return. They had laid their lives down. They had made statements. They had done things that were phenomenal. They just went out on the limb for God. What would it be like if every one of us got to a place in our relationship with God that we were not afraid to go out on the limb, go all the way? No matter who says what, no matter who criticizes us, no matter who judges us, points their fingers at us, belittles us in any way, shape, or form, no matter if our life is at risk, or our finances are at risk, or our job's at risk, or our home is at risk, or whatever is at risk, doesn't matter. We're going to go for Jesus to the point of no return. We find that in the scripture, that is the very character of dynamic people that God uses as an example for every single one of us. Like Ruth, for an example, when she went with Naomi back to the country that she came from, there's a place of no return. She's there gleaning in the fields. She had absolutely no idea. She gleaned in those fields. In case you didn't know what that meant, she's just picking up the little trash of stuff that people left behind so she can gather enough wheat or barley to make some bread. And she was looking for just something that someone dropped. That's what gleaning is all about. You didn't go there and pick a harvest. You didn't go there and get an abundance. You know, you didn't go to Trader Joe's and get something that was, you know, the best. You picked off the ground whatever was left by someone else that they didn't want. That's called gleaning. And when she gets there, she has no idea because of the point of no return where she made that statement, she's someday going to own those fields. That's a bizarre statement. How about Rahab. Rahab the harlot, who in the bloodline of Jesus. Can you imagine a harlot being in the bloodline of Jesus? Not even a, if you will, not even a Jewish person. And all of a sudden you'll find that Rahab the harlot is one who is making a statement. She put her whole life and her family online. She hid those spies that came into her country. If they had found out, they would not only have killed her, taken everything from her, but they had annihilated her family. She put everything online for a God she never met, a God she only heard about. No wonder she's so special. No wonder she's so magnificent. And in the bloodline of Jesus Christ himself, and spoken of numerous times in Scripture. Because she was confronted with something and she went past the line of no return. Wow. Stop and think about it. David, he's confronted with bears and lions. He's trying to, if you will, protect his father's sheep. Father's got a lot of sheep. Father got a lot of wealth, got a lot of money. My goodness, what's one sheep? A bear comes in, grabs the bear by the beard, grabs a lion, fights them off. His life is at stake. Then he faces Goliath. And he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the armies of the living God? And he says, I'll take him out. This little boy is now going to go against this murdering machine. Man, you talk about a point of no return. You're out there by yourself. The problem with it is when you get out there for God, the point of no return becomes a glorious place. A place where God meets you and where God meets your needs and where God opens doors and God does great and mighty marvelous things. Have you ever thought about Paul, how his whole life was on the line? He was somebody, had wealth, was taught by the greatest people. And all of a sudden he's going to become something called a Christian? The very ones he persecuted now are even going to criticize him. And here's this guy that's beyond the point of no return in his walk with God. How about Peter? Have you ever thought about Peter? Here's a boat full of the disciples and Jesus is walking on the water. And Jesus said, come, Peter. And he gets out of the boat. The other disciples stayed on the boat. Most of us would stay in the boat and say, Peter, you're really stupid. Where are you going? I'm not going out there. That's God. You're not God. But he walks on the water to Jesus. Point of no return. I think life ought to be lived that way for all Christians. You know why I say that? It's because there are examples in the Bible. If I can make this statement to you, you may not like it, but it still doesn't make it not true. It's called radical fanatical Christianity. And a lot of times you'll go and you'll hear a real compromised message about how you can do what you need to do and whatever. God loves you so much, you know, you never really know, and just keep doing it. But I'm here to tell you something. When I read my Bible, I can't find anything but a radical, beyond the point of no return Christianity. We're going and we don't care who goes with us, but we're not turning back because the world says to turn back. We're not listening to what the world has to say. We don't care what the politicians tell us. We don't care what the economy tells us. We're going on with Jesus and we're at the point of no return. For all of us that are in here, you might want to ask yourself tonight, how do you get to the point of no return? There's a development that takes place inside of every Christian. The development is the development of the human heart. This heart can be developed. The way it is today doesn't have to be the way it is tomorrow. What you did yesterday, you don't have to do today. The way you lived before is not the way you will live in the future. All because the heart is being developed by God. You are in a development program so that you will live your life beyond the point of no return. And it's all about the heart. And God's going to develop four areas of your heart and of my heart that's going to help us to walk in the ways of the King of Glory. Because like Deborah said one time to me, where there's a king, there's a kingdom. And God takes us out of an old ways and brings us into the new ways. And it's not run the same. Takes us out of the old kingdom and brings us into a new kingdom of righteousness. The old is all gone and passed away. Behold, all things become new. And you and I are learning by the development of our hearts how to walk and live a life beyond. And you may not be there yet, and that's okay. Just know that God's developing you. You may be in the beginning stages. You may not know up and down, right and left. You may not know or understand anything. But I'm telling you something. God wants to develop your heart so that you can live beyond the point of no return. Because it's in the place of beyond the point of no return that God comes and meets you and does great, phenomenal things. We see that in Scripture all the time. The goal for every one of us has got to be a living life to the maximum for God. And that's that point of no return. Four areas that God wants to develop. Past the point of no return. Number one, in our love. The development of the heart has got to be a heart that comes along. There are four types of soils in the Scripture. The soils represent the heart. The seed goes in. And you remember the four types of soils, you know, the hard and stony soil, or the one that had no depth to it, or the one that was under the pressures of this world. But there was a good soil, that's a good heart, where the seed goes in and it's allowed to grow and continue to grow. You're going to have to fight for that kind of a heart. 75% of the people in that parable that Jesus gives us don't make it. The same seed that went in you went in them. And 75% of them, according to the parable of Jesus, didn't make it. The seed that went in them was defiled by something of the world, and they ran them off. But 25%, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be part of that 25%. 25% of them, the seed of God, the word of God, the spirit of God, that dropped down inside of their heart. It was good ground, and it held on to it, and held on to it, and held on to it, and held on to it. Man, I tell you, it's all about the heart. And God wants to develop the supreme power of the universe. You know what the supreme power of the universe is? It's not atomic bombs, nuclear weapons. It's not about warships and massive armies. It's not about laser penetration. It's not about outer space, super things flying around. The greatest power in the universe is something completely contrary to all of that, called love. In fact, you have experienced it in your life, and you know it. Somewhere along the line, someone touched your heart with something called love. Now, your heart was touched a lot by a lot of abuse. Your heart was touched a lot about a lot of garbage. There was a lot of violations of your heart, a lot of penetrations of your heart, a lot of things that came against you and said you were no good and didn't have much. But I'm here to tell you, somewhere along the line, something touched your heart and you knew without a shadow of a doubt, something was very powerful that changed your life. And God wants to develop love on the inside of our hearts. At each way, the object of love is to be like Jesus. He is an example of walking, living, breathing love. For no one yet loved the world as much as him that went to that cross and died for people who are yet sinners. Love is an amazing thing. I'm going to take you to the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. In fact, because of time, we're just going to pop it up on the overhead. Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verse number 5. You shall love the Lord. By the way, someone says that's Old Testament. Can I tell you something? It might be Old Testament, and it might be in the New Testament that God deals with us differently. But God never changes, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. Don't think because it's New Testament time that God changed from the Old Testament. He hadn't. See, that's bad assumption of theology. That's bad evaluation of the theology. And God never changes. He's a God never changed. He's the same God of the Old Testament as he is in the New Testament. Now, he deals with us in a different way with grace and mercy because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt about that. But yet, he's still the same God with the same principles and same wants. Listen to what he says. He comes along and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. And all of a sudden, he's telling us the number one thing you're going to have to develop is a love for God. Well, you know what? I found out I can't love man until I love God. In fact, someone asked me one time, you feed the poor a lot. Do you love the poor? And I'm starting to fall in love with the poor, but I'm not as much in love with the poor as I am with Jesus. My answer to them was shocking. They said, how do you love the poor so much that you feed the poor? My answer was this: I don't love the poor. I love Jesus who loves the poor. And when you're in love with Jesus and you do what Jesus would love and what he would do and how he deals with the love for the poor comes along later on. As you get your eyes off of yourself and get your eyes on him who loves them, all of a sudden now you love those that are unlovable and those that are dysfunctional. We have a whole city that's unlovable and dysfunctional. How are we ever going to reach them if we don't love them? The only way to love them is by loving, learning how to love Jesus first. When you're so in love with Jesus, then you look past the frailty of human men and you look to Jesus and say, Jesus knew what made them that way. Jesus knew how come they act that way. Jesus knew why they make decisions like that. Jesus knew their frailties and failures. Therefore, I love Jesus and I look past all of that because I do what I do because I'm in love with the Lord. Jesus says in Matthew 25, when you do it unto the least of them, you do it unto me. May I say this to you? When you love Jesus, you can't help but to take care of other people. And you've got to fall in love with Jesus. But he doesn't say just love them on Sunday. He doesn't just say love them once in a while. Here's the attitude that every one of us ever going to go past that turning point. We're going to have to do this. Love them with all of your heart. Not some of your heart. With all of your soul and with all of your strength. It's an all or nothing relationship with Jesus Christ. The second thing we're learning how to do, listen to this, in the development of our heart to go past the point of no return. Number one, we need to go past the point of no return in our love. We need to, number two, in our obedience. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's not an issue. You don't have to keep his commandments. Nobody says, listen, God's going to come and beat you up if you don't keep his commandment. But if you love him, you want to do it. If you love him, you want to do it. Let me say it again. If you love him, you want to do it. I like what it says in Psalms 119, verse number 2. Pop it up on the overhead. We're talking about obedience. Blessed are those who keep his testimony. The development of the heart is, listen to these words, who seek him with all of their whole heart. In other words, God's developing the heart through love and through obedience. When I first got saved, I didn't have much love for God at all. I just wanted to know what God could do for me. I was a mess. Do you know what I'm talking about? Now it's no longer what God can do for me, but God, what can I do for you to fulfill your plan, your will, your want? And all of a sudden, instead of me being someone who is disobedient, I now realize that if I'm going to do anything, I need to do it God's way because God gives me the way to go. He gives me the very insight on what to do. But I'll never do it unless I have an attitude that I want to do what God says. Do I want to do what God says more than what I say? Yes. Because I found out as an old man, and you shouldn't have to wait this long to find this out. May I say this to you? Because it's a whole lot better to do what God says as a young man than to wait until you're old to figure out what God says is a whole lot better than what you say. And so you need to be a person who learns if God says it, that settles it. The issue is over. That's the way it is. The second part of development of that heart so that you can go past the point of no return and be like these heroes in the Bible is not only love, but obedience. The third one that we look at, going past the point of no return, is in our prayer life. This one I stink at. In our prayer life, you know, the Bible says that The prophet of God says, God, forgive me if I've sinned against you for not praying for the people. And that it actually is describing not praying for the people as a sin. Man, that is scary to me. How much do you expect from me? How much do you want from me? God, in the development of my heart, how does this work? That if I pray, it develops my heart. When I pray, I find myself getting closer to God. I find myself casting my cares on God. When I pray, I get out of what I think and get into what He wants. I get out of my feelings and I get into His feelings. Therefore, in order to develop my heart so that I can go past the point of no return and keep on going no matter what the world has to say, I need God to develop my heart. And I need God to develop my heart to the place where He is involved in every area of my life. I need to be a prayer person. I need to make time to pray. I need to walk and pray. Will I feel like praying? No. Will I pray when I sit down? I got to get up and do it. I got to do what God has me to do. Because why? It goes back to number one. I love Him. Number two, I'm obedient to Him. Number three, He wants me to pray. In my prayer time, I'm closer to Him. And the first two work so that I can be, number three, pray that will develop my heart. Which brings us to number four, the development of your heart so you can be one of those people that go past the point of no return. In other words, man, you are hooked into God and God backs you and God blesses you, which is number four, which is fascinating. Number four, in the area of trust or faith, God develops my heart. I didn't just start off right off the bat trusting God. In fact, everything I prayed for seemed to not happen. If anything, I realized that maybe my trust level really stinks. I would pray for people, they'd get sicker. I'd pray for people, they died. What is that all about? It's like, God, maybe you don't want me to pray. No, I want you to pray, but I want you to learn something. I want you to go back to being a prayer person. I want you to go back to being obedient. I want you to go back to the development of your heart in areas of love. And I need to, and so do you, in order for my heart to be developed, learn how to trust God in every circumstances. Man, the world is right before your eyes. Can I tell you something? Can I just say this to you? Here's what I believe. I believe you're seeing something that you have never seen before economically in the world before. You're seeing the collapse of a world economic system, which has been prophesied in Scripture. I wouldn't be surprised if we're entering in the last days, the eastern sky is going to split and Jesus come back. I'm not saying that. Don't go running off down, but Pastor Jim said it, this is it. Because I don't want to be labeled as some kind of freaky nut. Nobody knows that one day or the hour. But I'm here to tell you something. There's some crazy things going on right now. Right is wrong and wrong is right. Up is down and down is up. Man, it's like whatever's wrong is considered by society as right. Whatever's right is considered by society as wrong. Even people that are should be for God are against God. This is the nuttiest thing and the nuttiest times I've ever seen in my life. And until I trust God, I'll never go anywhere, never do anything, never be anything. I've got to be in faith with God. Yes, the world is falling, but I got good news. 1,000 at one side may fail and 10,000 at my right hand, but no plague will come near me. Why? My God will take care of me and you. I have got to learn to trust Him in the midst of all the garbage of the world. And this is what happens in the development of our heart so that we can go beyond that which God would have us to go and be what God would have us to be. So that we can go beyond the point of no return. So we can keep on keeping on laying our life down every day for the things of the Lord and not be afraid. Until you and I trust, it will never happen. Four things God uses. Number one, love. Number two, obedience. Number three, He's going to develop us in prayer. And number four, it's going to be trust. We're going to have to trust the Lord. I have a verse on that, Proverbs 3:5. It says, trust the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Now, let me tell you something, how this all works, and then I'm going to close. It all works by you turning and me turning around. It's called repentance. The heart never changes and never develops until the heart will turn. Listen to me. Every one of those people you saw coming up tonight were people who said, I want God to touch my heart. You better come up and say, I want God to turn me around and change me. I'm ready to turn around. I'm going to repent. And there's different types of repentance. There's repentance like you saw tonight from evil ways where people are going to get right with God and invite Jesus. They're giving their heart and life to Jesus Christ. But did you know there's repentance for Christians that just want to say, listen, Lord, I haven't been where I ought to be. I haven't done what I should be doing. I'm not in a place of great prayer. I'm not in a great trust. I'm not in love with you. I'm more in love with myself, my old ways. I'm kind of frustrated about life. I haven't been very obedient. I just kind of do what I need to do. And you walk with God and you need to repent. There'll never be a heart that's ever developed without some form of repentance. And I say this to you, listen to what I'm going to say to you. A lot of people will argue this with me, but I'm telling you theologically, repentance is the beginning of everything. Where I make a decision to turn myself around and go on with God. I love what the Word of God says in Joel, the second chapter, verse number 12. It says, "Now therefore say the Lord, turn to me with all of your heart, and with fasting and weeping and with mourning. Turn to me with all of your heart." We're talking about the development of the heart. It starts with repentance. I want to turn this around. I want to be what you want me to be, God. I can't make you do it. I can't preach good enough to make you do it. No one can. We can't sing songs good enough. We couldn't have a prettier, cleaner church. We couldn't have greater groups. We couldn't have greater outreaches. We couldn't supply more funds to the mission fields. We can't take care of the poor, bus in more, feed people, take care of people. I'm telling you, this is a great church. It will never change until you and I get to the place where, God, where I'm at is not good enough. There's more ahead of me, and I'm willing to turn my heart more towards you, Lord. And all the time, that's something, I am not arrived. Thank God I've not arrived. Neither of you. Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm blood washed. Yes, I'm forgiven. Yes, the grace of God is working in my life. But I'm here to tell you something. I have not achieved, nor have I arrived. I've got to keep on fighting a good fight of faith. There's more ahead of me than there was behind me. I'm not giving up today because God's changing my heart. He's changing me in love. He's changing me in obedience. He's changing me in prayer. He's changing me in faith. He's changing me with repentance. And I change, and it all starts with this. I give up myself and I turn, God. I want and make a commitment, not just to be saved, but I make a commitment, God. I want more of you. Tonight, if you want more of him, I want you to stand to your feet. Wait a minute. Everybody always stands to their feet because everybody else stands to their feet. I better stand to my feet because everybody around me is standing to their feet. Don't be a hypocrite with God. If you don't want more of God, then stay seated. If you think you're okay and cool with God, then stay seated. Don't be a hypocrite. God knows your
heart.
And he's developing it. But it starts with you being honest with yourself. If you want more of God, and not just because the first three rows jump to their feet, then you jump to your feet wherever you're at. Come on. Are you willing to change?
Yes.
I said, are you willing to change?
Yes.
Are you willing to turn?
Yes.
Are you willing to say more of God and less of me?
Yes.
Are you willing to get out of your comfort zone and get into God's comfort zone?
Yes.
Then let's say this out loud. Raise your hands and your heart to the Lord. Say, Father, I come to you this night.
Here's my heart.
I give it to you again.
Develop it, Lord.
I want to be more in love with you.
I want to be more obedient to you.
I want to have a greater prayer life.
I want to trust you more
with every beam of my life.
Tonight, Lord,
see me.
Search me.
Tonight, Lord,
and forever,
I'm yours.
I'm yours. I want more. I want more. I want more. Thank you, Jesus. Now give the Lord a great big praise. Yes. Woo. It's just funny.